Wheatland Baptist Church. Good to be here, and looking forward to the fastest 45 minutes in the week between now and 10:15. They go by so fast. But let's open up with a word of prayer this morning. Our Father, we come to Thee. We do thank You that we can come into Your presence with our cares, our concerns, our needs. Father, we pray for this time now as we look unto Your Word. Teach us Thy truths. Help us to understand what is here so that we as Your children can grow closer to You to be more Christ-like. Bless this time that we have together, and we look forward to this day as we seek to worship You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Back to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We kind of made our way briefly into this. Got through verse 4-ish last week. And noting those things about trials of the believers, verses 2 through 12 here of chapter 1 of the book of James. And we noted the testings that we fall into that are there to really strengthen and encourage us. We don't necessarily like to have the trials, but yet He does remind us to count it all joy, to rejoice in them, because ultimately, if our focus stays with our God, we will come out on the better side. We will be the better, if you will, the strengthened, the edified, the drawn closer to our God as a result of those testings that have come down our path. And if we stop to think about it, which is better, to be as far away from God as we happen to be today, or to go through the trial and find ourselves closer to our God? I would trust that we would want to be closer to our God, regardless of what brings us there, because that's where we're going to be one day. As I've often mentioned, we can drag our feet about our Christian living. We may hesitate, and many of us have. I mean, I've told my testimony of how God was calling me into the ministry, and I was saying, let's do something else, Lord. Let's bargain this. Let's work this out. And that didn't work out. He wins out. We will be in His presence one day. That's not an option for us. We as believers are going to be in God's presence for all eternity. And that's not a bad thing. That's a blessed place. That is a glorious place to be. And God is preparing us in this life for that. So anything that He's doing in our lives is for His glory, our good, and drawing us closer to Him, which is always a good thing. So as we go through these trials and we come through them in a way that is pleasing to God, that helps us, we see these things, as we noted, the patience, the being perfect or complete, and there truly is joy in that. We may not feel it. We may not sense that joy in the midst of the trial, but we find that joy on the other side of it, and we realize, yes, God was with me through this. He was right there beside me. I didn't necessarily feel it, didn't necessarily sense it, but He was there. And now I can see, kind of looking back through some of His eyes, through His truths, that yes, He was there. I just didn't realize it at the time, but I see His hand at work, and that causes us to rejoice and thank the Lord for what He does. And so we see that going on in our lives. And so He moves on to the next subject matter, if you will, that He's touching on here, verses 5 through 8, the use of prayer amid trials. And He is going to bookend this book with prayer. Here we are in verse 5, and he speaks about asking God. We're going to come to chapter 5 towards the last few verses and find out that the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And so he kind of starts with prayer, ends with prayer, realizing that is where we need to be as believers, in prayer, a people of prayer. And that should be our constant go-to. As I think I have sometimes said, prayer should be our first resort, not our last resort. And yet often it is our last resort. How often do we look for something and we can't find it? And we finally say, well, Lord, will you please help me? And we seek him out for it. And what usually happens when we do that? Oh, yeah, there it is. Thank you, Lord. And we wasted how much time? Because we were so focused on trying to do it ourselves. All the while God's saying, I know exactly where it's at. Just come to me. Bring that burden, bring that concern to me, and I'll answer it. And I'll show you. And it's often in places, at least in, I know in my life, it's often in places where I know I've already looked. But I sure didn't see it then. I think God just kind of puts blinders on our eyes and we don't see it. And he's waiting for us to, you need to come talk to me about this. You need to rely on me. So let's look at verses 5 through 8 if someone would like to read those four verses. James 1, verses 5 through 8. Okay. As we come to this, we see the use of prayer amid trials, the need for wisdom. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, and the Greek construction here, it's called a first-class conditional statement. We have those same things in English as well, but it is expecting, it is giving us a assumed true statement. We have the word if. Sometimes the word sense is used there to help us understand. He's noting we do lack wisdom. It's not if we lack wisdom, we do lack wisdom. Who has wisdom? Yes, God does. We can be a wise person if we rely on our God. I mean, we know Solomon was the what? Wisest man. Where did he get his wisdom? God gave it to him. And for the most part, Solomon acknowledges that. But he notes here for us, if any of you lack wisdom, and we do, we don't always know what to do in the situations that we find ourselves in, do we? I don't have the wisdom to know how I need to handle this. And so he tells us, you lack wisdom? Come talk to God. Bring that concern, that lack, if you will, that unknowingness, take it to God. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. We need that. We do lack wisdom, and we have that request. Let him ask. Again, in the Greek, it's a present tense verb. And for the Greeks, their understanding of verb tenses is different than our English. We have the basic of past, present, future. The Greeks don't see verbs that way. For the most part, their present speaks of a continuous action. They look at verbs a little differently back in their day. And the present tense is a continuous action. It's not a, it's a present, but it's a continuous action. I mean, we translate it as a present for the best that we can do, because we would have to add more words. In essence, ask and keep asking. It's a constant thing. Do we constantly need to talk to God and ask Him for wisdom? Yes, we do. Because our life is in need of His wisdom. And so just because we asked when we were 12 years old, does that mean I don't have to ask Him now that I'm 63? Because I asked Him back then? Nope. Realize I still need to ask Him for that wisdom. Because what I asked Him for back then and what I'm asking for now is completely different. And I need His wisdom for today. And so our Greek, our James, our author is noting that. We need to keep asking Him. This is not a one-time deal. Come and ask God for wisdom and boom, He's going to fill your head with wisdom and you're going to be good for the rest of your life. He didn't put it in that tense. He could have. That there's a point in time where you ask for wisdom and that's all you needed to do. But He doesn't put it in that tense because He knows that that's not possible. We need to keep asking Him because our situations are always going to be different. And God can't fill our hearts and minds. What would often we do with some of those things that we learned back then? Would we remember them 20 years from then? 40 years from then? I mean, most of us are older. Do we remember everything from 40 years ago? For those of you that can remember 40 years ago, I realize some of you can't remember 40 years ago because you don't have that yet. But there are all sorts of things from 40 years ago that I don't remember. And yet I asked for wisdom back then. So God understands us better, I think, sometimes than we really understand ourselves, especially when we're younger. We tend to think, oh yeah, I'll remember this stuff. I'm good to go. No, we're not. We're going to forget. And sometimes we're going to relearn those lessons because we did kind of forget. And so we have that ability to ask and keep asking Him. It's okay that you ask wisdom this morning of God. It'll be okay to ask Him this afternoon for wisdom. And then this evening to ask Him for wisdom. Because what does He continue to say? He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. Now, in our English, we tend to not think of liberally in a good way, but that's more in the political sense. Liberally in the Greek, again, looking at it in the Greek, means to give simply, openly, frankly, sincerely, straightforward, above board. There's no wavering with God. He's going to do it. He's not going to put it on a stick and dangle it in front of you and say, come on, come on, come on. Come back to me and ask again. Okay, there you go. Now I'll give it to you. He's going to give it to you. He's going to be up front and above board with this. You asked, God will give you. No questions asked. No strings attached. He will give it to you. He's promised. Because He's just stated it here. Let any of you ask wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. He will do it. He has said so. And He will not upbraid you. He's not going to reproach you, revile you. How dare you ask wisdom of me again. You just asked me 2 hours ago, and I'm not doing it now. You're going to have to wait 24 hours. No, he's not going to upbraid us because we keep asking him, because he's asked us. He's told us, ask of me. I want you to come and ask me. Because he's God. He's our heavenly Father. I realize at times we can be hesitant in talking to our earthly fathers, can we not? And then sometimes we're not. Depends on the father, depends on the situations, but typically we have free access to our parents. And more often than not, sometimes we were rather impatient with them and bugging them about things that we wanted, because we were badgering them so that they would give in to the things that we were asking. And it's not that we're badgering God. God wants us to continue asking him. He wants us to come to him. Because he knows us. I mean, ultimately, because he knows our frame. He knows who we are. And I think oftentimes he knows us better than we try to acknowledge ourselves. And it helps us to realize who we are. Yes, I am in need. I'm not as smart. I'm not as wise as I should be. I need God's help. And so he asks this of us, and he doesn't upbraid us. And then he notes, and it shall be given him. We have this blessed promise with this verse alone. Come to God. Talk with him. You need wisdom? You need that understanding of these things? Come to him. And he'll do it. And I dare say if we took time, we could give testimonies around of how, yes, I did need God's wisdom. And I sought him in prayer. And he answered, and he gave, and I was blessed by that. Because I could have gone down a wrong road, but I sought his wisdom, and he showed me, and he redirected me to head me in the right way. So we have this bestowal of his wisdom, that divine response. He's going to do it, but we have the human side of things in verses 6 or 8, the human obligation. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith, believing, trusting positively. Faith here is not merely a body of doctrinal truth to which we adhere, but rather the wholehearted attitude of a full and unquestioning committal to and dependence upon God as he has revealed himself to us in Jesus Christ. We tend to think of faith as that's what I have in my God. I trust him. He saved me. And I live by faith, as we see in Hebrews chapter 11. Yes. But it is that understanding and not just the doctrinal truths. But let him ask in faith. In faith in whom? God. Let him ask in faith. God, I believe that you can do this. Do what? Give me wisdom. Do we believe that? If we do, then we would naturally then go to him in prayer asking. But if we are uncertain, do we ask? I mean, think of it on a personal level. If we're uncertain about someone's knowledge base, so we'll put it that way, do we ask them about information that we want? No. If we have an electrical need, We want to go to talk to someone who has what? Wisdom, knowledge, if you will, in electricity. And we will find someone that we can have, we'll use that word, faith in. We can trust. We believe that they can help us. That same nature, if you will, works with our God. Now, God is far better than anything we can do on this earthly level because he's all-knowing. He's omniscient. There's nothing that he doesn't know. And he knows it all perfectly. He knows our lives. He knows what we need, when we need it, how much we need of it, at any given moment in our time, in our lives. And that truly starts to be the joy of the Christian living that James is touching on when we realize God knows that. He knows what I need, when I need it, how much I need. And so I can talk to him. I can bring this to him. I can ask him, and I know that he's going to give it. And I can go forward for him. And I can joy and rejoice as we go through these trials because he's there with me. He's meeting the needs. And he's helping me. But he notes here, but let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. That we have the positive in faith. We have the negative side. Nothing wavering. Doubting conveys the picture of a divided mind, being torn in two directions. We waver. I don't know that I should ask him. I'm not sure. If we do that, are we asking? No. We're wavering. Yeah. We're pulled from both sides. No. And James hits us here. He says, nothing wavering. Don't doubt. Look to God. Ask him. Because he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Now, many of us have gone to the ocean and just watched the waves, particularly when it's not just a straight line beach, when there's some curvature or some islands nearby, and watch the wave action. Those winds do all sorts of things with those wave actions. Growing up in eastern North Carolina, Worldwide New Testament Baptist Missions, a mission board, was founded in my home church. And while the mission office was still back in North Carolina, in New Bern, it's now in Kings Mountain, but when it was back in New Bern, in the mission office, they had this, for lack of a better term, it's a diagram. It was made of sticks that crisscrossed each other. And then they had some seashells in certain places. And what it was basically a wave chart of some of the South Pacific Islands. That's where Northwest Baptist, or Worldwide New Testament Baptist Missions had many of its first missionaries, were on the islands in the South Pacific. The Flecks that are, well, they've left Stockton now, but they were on the island of Majuro and many others. And this was what the islanders did. As they would be out in their boats, they would know where they were by looking at these charts because they had followed the wave patterns, because they would bounce off the islands. So you may have your major wave, but then you would have a minor wave that's bouncing back in a different direction, and that's what those lines of those sticks were the wave actions. And then the bounce back waves. And so they knew exactly where they were based on the wave action in the ocean. They didn't, I'm sure they relied on the stars, but because they were always out on the ocean fishing and whatever, they knew where they were based on the wave action that they got in their boats. And then they just made sticks, took sticks and made that formation. So in essence, they had a map of where they would be. Because the waves are moved about. They're always changing, if you will. That wave hits that island and it bounces off, it deflects and goes a different way. It's never constant in that sense. It's always changing and moving. God says, let's not be that way. Don't be moved about. Don't waver. Don't doubt. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, because he gives us this comparison, if you will, this picture that those that do waver are like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Why? Because we're doubting. Maybe God can do this. No, God can do this. He's told us. We need not waver on this. And yet oftentimes we do, don't we? We come and we may ask, but there's that little question mark in our mind, that little hesitation, that little doubting, whatever drives it. Maybe he won't do that for me. Or I'm not sure. Ask in full faith. The least that God can do is say, you know what? That's not exactly what I need to give you, but I will give you what you need. You know, sometimes we don't know how to ask. Paul reminds us of that in Romans chapter 8. And we have the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit interceding for us, helping us to know how we should pray. Much like we as children. You know, we may see, it's hard to believe, I say hard to believe, you know, you don't have 10-speed bikes anymore. I've yet to come across a 10-speed bike. You know, they're 15 speeds or 21 speeds. It just kind of dates myself. I mean, back when I was in school years, a 10-speed bike was the epitome of the bike. We may want a 10-speed bike when we're 10 years old. 26-inch frame, 26-inch wheels on this thing. But we're under 5 feet tall. We don't fit that bike. But that's what we want, and that's what we may be asking our parents for. You know, Mom and Dad, I see this Schwinn 10-speed bike, you know, over at Sears and Roebuck. That's the one I really want. But Mom and Dad know, is that the best thing for us? At that age? At that stature? No. Because we could get on the seat, but we couldn't reach the pedals because it's built for somebody bigger than us. It's not practical for us. But we as kids don't often realize that. It's, I really like that bike. Man, it's shiny. Look at that 10 speeds too. Oh man, that beats my little bike that I have now that it's all I can do to pedal it. And so the parents get us the appropriate bike that fits us, but it's not what we asked for. But it works for what we need at the time. God does that for us. We may ask, as he's called us to do, to ask for that wisdom. But he knows the best wisdom to give to us at that time. We may have this bigger, grandiose idea that we're asking for, but God says, you know what, that's not that, but here, I will give you what you need. That is the best thing for you at this time. That may come later, but this is what you need now. And we need to ask, yes, in faith, not wavering, realizing that we will receive it of the Lord when we ask, and we don't waver on it. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord, he that is doubting. Because we are wavering, and God doesn't want us wavering, and he takes it further in noting, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. To go back and forth. Yes, oh, maybe not. Yeah, no, maybe not. I'm not sure. God, we're unstable in all our ways. We find that that tends to work itself out into the rest of our life. That characteristic, if you will. This wavering, I think I started here. It says, doubting conveys the picture of a divided mind, being torn in two directions. The individual is in a state of oscillation, between the competing desires within him. The present tense denotes that this halting between two opinions has become habitual. Again, that present tense, speaking of constancy. That's our state. That's our condition. We're going back and forth. We're bouncing back and forth like those waves. Between the two opinions has become habitual, while the middle voice indicates that the conflict is rooted in his competing personal desires. Middle voice that's being used here speaks of myself. I am the one that is causing the wavering. It's not being acted upon me. I'm the one. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We are doing it to ourselves. Yes. Maybe so, maybe not. I have these competing desires. I want to do things, but I know I need to ask God. God's given me wisdom before. I can use that. I don't need to ask him again. No, ask. Ask and keep asking, as Christ reminded us. Knock and keep knocking. Seek and keep seeking until God gives the answer. Because he's told us he will. And so we see this kind of rejected character, if you will, in this. There's instability. There's the two sides that we can never fully agree upon. We understand the problems within our own human nature, but we want to follow those things. But yeah, there's coming to God and seeking God and getting answers from him, but the old nature, the old man, the old ways wants to come up. Oh, you can do this. You can pull yourself up by the bootstraps. No, you can't. You can grab your bootstraps all you want, and you're not going to lift yourself up. Those of us that wear boots, I mean, I know that. I'm not going to pull myself up if I reach down here and grab my bootstraps. I'm not going to be able to put myself on the pew by just reaching down there and grabbing the bootstraps and saying, okay, here we go. Yep. I'm almost there. You know, it's not going to happen. You know, why we use that phrase is always kind of befuddled me. pulling ourselves up by our own bootstraps. And it's a bold statement, as if we can do it. And it's like, where did this phrase come from? We're not pulling ourselves up by our own bootstraps. It's a physical impossibility. And yet we have that phrase out there, well, I pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. No, you didn't. The accomplishment isn't in us. And so that instability that is there, that two-souled, God doesn't want us there. He wants us coming to Him. And as he notes here, the double-minded man and unstable in all his ways. It's plural. It encompasses all the varied aspects of his life. His fickle and vacillating attitude in the realm of faith projects itself into all areas of his life, making him unreliable in all of his dealings. Again, we can't compartmentalize our lives. Here's my faith life. And I pull that out. And I have it for Sunday morning. And then I'm done with church and I put it back in there. And Sunday afternoon, I'm out doing other stuff. Oh, Sunday night's here. Come back. Pull that out. Here we go. We can't compartmentalize our lives. We become unstable in all our ways. Our spiritual life, our Christ life, our Christian life permeates everything. It should. It's supposed to. Because God has us here to be a light to the world. To show forth the Lord Jesus Christ to the world, to our fellow believers, at any time. And so we have this, and so as we waver in our Christian realm, if you will, it will find its way into other aspects of our lives. Why? Well, one, God has just told us that it will. And God is true. He knows us. He knows that we cannot keep things separate in our lives that affect us. We're not working well in this realm. It's going to permeate the rest of our life. And it's going to affect us in our personal relationships. It's going to affect us in our work. It's going to affect all of us. And so he reminds us and puts us, in essence, on notice. You believers that are scattered, going back to, you know, who he's writing to, be mindful of this. Come to God in faith. You need to seek Him. You need wisdom? Yes, we do. Seek Him. Seek Him unreservedly. Don't waver. Don't question. Believe. God will answer. He's given us again the promise. Let him ask in faith. He will give to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. We have that promise. It will be given to us when we ask in full faith. God, I know you can do this. I know you can. I know you will. I trust you. I will follow you. I will live for you. And you will give me because you've promised. The beeping, yeah. Maybe the water notification. I'm not sure. I haven't heard it for a while, but or somebody's timer is going off on their cell phone, one or the other. But we'll get that beep. We'll get it taken care of. But may we realize these things, that we can find ourselves in the wrong place if we are not in faith seeking our God, asking Him. And so He brings us to that point of our praying, that we need to pray. I think we all understand that. I trust that we do. That we do lack wisdom. I'm not there. I need my God. I need His help. Now let's go to it in full faith. We can. We don't need to waver on that. Well, I don't know that I... Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can ask in faith. And as we do, God builds on that. I asked Him last week and He answered fully, faithfully. Guess what? I can ask Him again. And I know that He will answer. Why? Because He did the last time. And He did the time before that. And He did the time before that. And God builds on that, and that strengthens our faith. That strengthens our resolve in who our God is. So that we do have that strong faith, if you will, that we may see others have. And we say, man, I wish I had that faith. Well, you do. Just trust God. And He will build your faith. Because He's promised. And He will help us through these things. In verses 9 through 11, which we'll look at, Lord willing, next week, the correct attitude toward life by the tried. And we'll look at that as we continue this the life that we have, the trials, the things that we face. James is hitting us right where we live. He's looking at where we live. And how are we doing? And so a good examination of ourselves as we read the book of James. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You for Thy word. We thank You for the truths that are here. Pray that You may guide and direct and watch over us as we consider our lives. Father, we are a people who need You. We do lack wisdom. And You've commanded us, You've told us to come talk to You, to seek Your wisdom, and You will give it. Father, may we not hesitate in that. May we not question. But truly, yes, may we come in full faith, believing, God, You will give. You will answer. You will meet the needs. And so, Father, may we continue to come to Thee, and Father, to ask and keep asking till we see that answered prayer. It may be that it's a no. But Father, we'll rejoice in that because You've answered. You've shown us what Your will is. And so help us as we go forth. Prepare our hearts as we look forward to the morning service now to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.